All prophets say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In his name, we'll start another edition of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. In this series of the programs, we are mainly concerned with the lives and works of the most important Persian as well as Muslim scholars, specifically Shiite one, in different fields of studies all around the world with the presence of Dr. Fakhrouani. Dr. Fakhrouani is specialized in the field of Ahlabayt literature and Ashura literature in English language and is currently a faculty member of the University of Qom. I would like to welcome you, Dr. Fakhrouani, to the studio of the Call of Islam radio station here. Thank you very much. You accept our invitation again.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Dr. Fakhrouani, as you remember, the program The Immortals is mainly concerned with the lives of the most important Persian as well as the Muslim dignitaries in different fields of studies. This session, we want to focus on the life and works of another important luminary, that is Sayyid Razi. Before getting to your discussion of the life and the works of Sayyid Razi, I would like to give a very brief summary of his family background and birth. And after that, we'll get to your discussion. No problem?
Okay.
You know, in the biography of Sayyid Razi, we read that Abul Hasan Muhammad Hussein al-Musavi, popularly known as Sayyid Razi or Sharif Razi, lived a brief but lightly fruitful life. So great has been his contribution to Islamic sciences that the study of his life and works requires an analysis of almost all works of history, biographies, and literature written since the 5th century AH. In fact, the Sayyid Razi was born in 359 AH, 970 CE in Baghdad, and died in the year 406, 1015 in his hometown, coincided with the era of Buyid dynasty, which was from 334 to 447, or 946 to 1056, which had reduced the Abbasid caliphs to mere nominal rulers, and it was the golden age of Arabic literature, and among his contemporaries mentioned could be made of the great poets Al-Mutanabbi and Abul-A'la Mu'arri. Dr. Fakhrouani, when we search into the life of Sayyid Razi, you know, we see that he was also from a noble family. And his brother, Sayyid al-Murtaza, was also one of the other great scholars of his time, too. Let's have a brief summary of his family background, his life, what happened that he was suddenly led into the field of religious studies, writing one of the most important five books in the field of religious studies, which is going to be discussed more. Give us a summary, and after we get to the other dimensions of his life.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, the late Sayyid al-Radi, or Sharif al-Radi, who was indeed a prodigy in the realm of knowledge and scholarship, and especially Arabic literature and linguistics.
Okay.
According to an authentic story, there were two brothers, Sayyid al-Radi and Sayyid al-Murtada, or Sharif al-Radi and Sharif al-Murtada. Both of them were scholars with this distinction that Sharif al-Radi was very much interested in literature and politics, while Sharif al-Murtada was very much interested in fiqh. Okay? Both of them were, of course, literary figures at the same time, but Sharif al-Radi's fame rests chiefly on literature and his contribution to Arabic literature. This is number one, and one of the most important points is that his genealogy goes back to the seventh infallible Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, who is buried in Baghdad.
Okay.
Actually, in the heyday of the Shiite Buyid dynasty ruling in Baghdad, the Buyid dynasty were basically from Iran, from Tabaristan, Iran, northern Iran. And since there were devout Shiites during this era, we see that there's a heavy Shiite coloring in politics in Mesopotamia, in Iraq. And this set a background for the Shiites to practice the rituals. Please note carefully that the first open Ashura ceremony and the first public holiday on Ashura was held in the time of the Buyid family in Baghdad. And this was the major contribution to Shiite rituals in Iraq. At the same time, the two brothers, Sayyid al-Radi and Sayyid al-Murtada, both of them, were disciples, were brilliant disciples and students of the renowned Shiite theology figure, al-Sheikh al-Mufid, Muhammad ibn Nu'man al-Akbari al-Baghdadi, okay. Better known as al-Sheikh al-Mufid. Okay? We find that, I mean, throughout the life of Sayyid al-Radi, we find that Sayyid al-Radi was very much interested in literature, such that when, I mean, he was around, I mean, at the age of 10, he composed a qasida, a panegyric, mm-hmm. a long, long poem in Arabic, which puzzled the literati of Baghdad of the day. As you know, even today, the Arab people have a talent for producing poems quite spontaneously.
Right.
But this 10-year-old child composed a very long, long poem in Arabic, which puzzled all masters of Arabic literature.
Right. Okay, very nice.
At the same time, I should like to say that if we want to find a mainstream in the life and contribution of the late Sayyid al-Radi, we should know that since Sayyid al-Radi was deeply interested in the literature and in literary devices and in literary discussions, his approach to the Holy Quran, his approach to hadiths, and his approach to the sermons of Imam Ali, which resulted and crystallized in Nahj al-Balagha, in his compilation of Nahj al-Balagha, and also in his collection of the hadiths of the Prophet Muhammad, all of them had a very strong literary background and literary coloring.
Okay, that's right. Dr. Fakhrani, what happened that Sayyid al-Radi and Sayyid al-Murtaza, as two brothers, get into the, we can say, field of religious studies?
Actually, according to a credible story, the mother of Sayyid al-Radi and Sayyid al-Murtada, I mean, was very pious. I mean, she was a very pious lady. One night, Sheikh al-Mufid, who was a leading Shiite figure in Baghdad, dreamt that the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad, Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayha, entered his classroom while she had the hands of the two infallible imams, Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba and Imam al-Husayn, alayhim as-salam, and told Sheikh al-Mufid, Ya Sheikh, allimhum al-fiqh. O Sheikh, teach them the fiqh, mm-hmm. the science of fiqh, I mean religious rules and laws. Okay. Sheikh al-Mufid got very puzzled and woke up, and until morning, Sheikh al-Mufid was crying and praying to God. On the ensuing day, when Sheikh al-Mufid was presenting his lessons, he noticed that a lady entered his classroom and told him exactly the sentence which he heard in the dream, Ya Sheikh, allimhum al-fiqh.
That's right.
These two sons, these two little boys who were with that lady, one of them was Sayyid al-Murtada and another one was Sayyid al-Radi.
Okay.
So, on the basis of that revelatory dream, which the late Sheikh al-Mufid had the previous night, he did his utmost in educating these two prodigies. But I should like to say that, from the point of the ancestors and, grandfather and great-grandfathers and the forefathers of Sayyid al-Radi, the father of Sayyid al-Radi was a very pious man and a very influential figure in Baghdad. Okay, since his genealogy got back to Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam, his father had a very high standing among the Shiites of the day in Baghdad and, generally in Iraq. So he was called Naqib al-Naqaba, or the chief of chiefs.
The father, you mean?
Yes.
The father, okay.
And after Sayyid al-Radi's father passed away, this highly government and official post reached Sayyid al-Radi. Okay. And after Sayyid al-Radi, it reached Sayyid al-Murtada, his youngest brother.
Okay.
Now, I should like to add that it was both because of his, intellect and his intelligence, and at the same time because of the, studiousness of Sayyid al-Radi, that he reached the pinnacle of knowledge and scholarship of the day, such that even some very important and renowned Sunnite historians and scholars, when they come to discuss or talk about Sayyid al-Radi, almost all of them express the astonishment at the sight of finding such a prodigy in Baghdad of the day.
And what fields of studies Dr. Fakhrouani Sayyid al-Radi was specialized in?
Yes, actually, according to the records and the books available to us, I should like to say that the later Sayyid al-Radi's approach toward the Holy Quran, toward literature, toward the hadiths, and toward the sermons of the infallible Imams, and chiefly Imam Ali Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, the Amir of the Believers, was chiefly a literary approach. He was very much fascinated by the literary characteristics of the Holy Quran and the hadiths. Mm-hmm. So the late Sayyid al-Radi composed several books on the Holy Quran, but in most of them he approached the literary characteristics of the Holy Quran. He was also a leading scholar in literary discussions on metaphor and figurative speech. Okay. And unfortunately, most of his literary theories have remained unworked and unintroduced to the world of scholarship today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrouani. Let's have it up to here. In fact, we become familiar with Sayyid al-Radi, with his life, with the family background, and somehow his specialties. But for more elaboration of the, in fact, the specialties and the works, because the works and the produced works show that what a specialty and what we can say a professional person is specialized in, let's have them after taking a break, okay?
Okay.
So listen to a religious song, taking a break, and back in a minute.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. Created by the Master, Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
We are back with the rest of the program, The Immortals. In this session, we are mainly concerned with the life and works of Sayyid al-Radi, the compiler of the outstanding book, The Nahj al-Balagha. Okay, Dr. Fakhrouani, you pointed out to the specialties of Sayyid al-Radi, and you said that in different fields of studies of that time, including the literature and the literary aspects, in fact, because of his aesthetic estates and aesthetic taste, he had in his works, most of the literary figures of that time admired him and said that also in his religious studies and religious books, these literary styles were observed. very much. Would you enumerate some of his outstanding books for us? And of course, keep Nahjul Balagha as the, we can say, the peak of the, his books for last part and last minutes of this program, because we want to discuss it more. Enumerate some of his books. What was the book about, and how was it written, and what was it mainly about? And then at the end of this program, get to Nahjul Balagha.
Okay. As you know, in the time of Sayyid al-Radi, quite important literary figures were available in Baghdad. I mean, those literary figures were Muslim and non-Muslim, Christian. Okay. And at the same time, some of them were among our Sunni brethren in Baghdad. However, the later Sayyid al-Radi studied before all the important and erudite professors of the day in Baghdad. Since he was a native speaker of the Arabic language, he had no problem with Arabic texts. At the same time, as I remarked earlier, he was very much fascinated, or it seems that he was very much fascinated by the literary aspects of texts. So he composed several books, most of which deal with the literary aspects of the Arabic language, and specifically the literary aspects of the Holy Quran and the Hadiths.
Okay.
Concerning the Holy Quran, he has a book, Talkhis al-Bayan fi Majazat al-Quran.
That's right.
A short compendium of the literary figures or metaphorical expressions of the Holy Quran. This book is by no means an exegesis of the Holy Quran, although Sayyid al-Radi produced an exegesis of the Holy Quran as a separate work.
Okay.
But in this work, his approach was that he selected the Quranic surahs and verses, and wherever he found a literary figure or a metaphor, he approached it, he deciphered it, he made clear the, I mean, surface level and the, I mean, deeper structure level of the meanings of the Holy Quran. And in this work, in this way, he produced a literary appreciation of the Holy Quran in its entirety. And this is, of course, a great contribution to literary studies of the Holy Quran.
Okay.
In the book Talkhis al-Bayan fi Majazat al-Quran, the word majaz in Arabic means metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And as you know, literary texts, and above all and especially not only in Islam but also in other religions, religious canons or religious texts or scriptures are imbued with metaphors. So it's very common for a scholar to be fascinated by the metaphorical expressions of any sacred text. And if the author is a Muslim, he must pay attention to the Holy Quran in this regard. Since in this book he dealt with the metaphorical aspects and different meanings of the Quranic vocabulary and lexicon, he produced another work, Majazat al-Athar al-Nabawiyya.
Right.
And in Majazat al-Athar al-Nabawiyya, he selected, in this book, he selected a great number, somewhat more than 360 sayings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and approached them from a literary point of view. In his work, he dealt with the literary characteristics of the speeches of the Prophet Muhammad. This as a background. I mean, this approach has a hadith background as well. Why? Because in an authentic hadith from the Prophet Muhammad, he said he was the most fluent native speaker of the Arabic language. So the Prophet Muhammad could be regarded as a model for Arabic, for people who were native speakers of Arabic.
Okay.
Another one is Ma'ani al-Qur'an. Okay. Ma'ani al-Qur'an is in fact an interpretation or an exegesis of the Holy Quran.
That's right. right.
Okay?
As the name, in fact, talks
yes,
about
yes, it's Ma'ani al-Qur'an, the meanings of the Holy right, Qur'an, okay? Right. This is I should like to say, this is an elucidation or elaboration of the meanings of Qur'anic verses, okay?
Right.
And another work, okay, which has something to do with the history of Islam or Islamic history, is concerned with another book of Sharif al-Radi, Khasa'is al-A'imma alayhim as-salam, the attributes or characteristics of the infallible imams alayhim as-salam. In this book, he's chiefly concerned with the merits and unique characteristics of Imam Ali alayhi as-salam, the Amir of the Believers.
Right.
Okay, then he has a collection of poems, Diwan al-Shi'r.
Sorry, to talk about the previous book. Somehow they say that this book was published in Iran, Iraq, under another title, yes?
Yes.
And the title was different from the, what you said. What was that title and why is it so? Because it was mainly concerned with the attributes of Imam al-Ali and the beside the other imams and highlighted his role more
yes,
than others.
Yes.
What was the other title for this book chosen?
Another alternative title is Khasa'is Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib.
That's right. Sometimes it was published under this title.
Yes, yes, yes. But in fact, he dealt with other imams.
That's
but
right.
Since Imam Ali was the first imam, the first immediate successor to the Holy Prophet, he dealt with in this way. Another one, another work of his is Diwan al-Shi'r, or a collection of poems.
Yeah.
As I remarked earlier, Sharif al-Radi composed his first poem at the age of 10, and until the, throughout his life, he was always interested in poetry and the literature and the literary works. So he had a great number of poems. And in his lifetime, he collected a considerable number of his poems, and it's regarded as, it's referred to as Diwan al-Shi'r, or
That's
collection
right.
of poems.
Right.
Another work of the late Sharif al-Radi is Akhbar Qazat Baghdad, the accounts about the judges of Baghdad. It's a historical book. It's a historical book about the judges who ruled in Baghdad. Okay, and
nice.
It shows that Sharif al-Radi was also concerned with the field of law and at the same time history.
And the so judiciary it's system
yes,
of
yes,
that
yes,
thing,
yes.
Right.
He was a historian. He was also a historian of law in Iraq and especially
right.
in Baghdad.
Very good.
Okay, another work of his is Al-Hasan min Shi'r al-Husayn.
Yeah, very
okay,
nice.
Al-Hasan min Shi'r al-Husayn is a rearrangement of a 10-volume collection of poems earlier produced under the title of Durrat al-Taj fi Shi'r Abu al-Hajjaj. The collection belonged to Abu Abdullah Hussein ibn Ahmad ibn Hajjaj al-Baghdadi, who was a Shiite poet.
Okay.
And Sharif al-Radi rearranged the whole collection in an alphabetical order. It shows his patience and knowledge and erudition and literary talent and scholarship. Another work of his is Ziyadat fi Shi'r Ibn al-Hajjaj. Other poems of the same poet, al-Hajjaj, he arranged them in a separate volume.
That's right.
He has another book, rearrangement, Ziyadat fi Shi'r Abi Tammam.
That's right.
Okay. And another work of his is Al-Mukhtar min Shi'r Abi Ishaq.
That's right.
Okay. Abi Ishaq was also a literary talent, and he produced, he devoted the work to his poems.
Right.
To Ibn Ishaq's poems. Ta'liqa Khilaf al-Fuqaha is a work in the field of Shiite religious bibliography.
Right.
He was really an asset. I should like to finish this discussion with his work on the Nahj al-Balagha.
That's right, the most important,
yes.
If I can say. The most important, the highlighted work of Sayyid al-Radi was Nahj al-Balagha.
Yes, even today we associate Sayyid al-Radi with Nahj al-Balagha and Nahj al-Balagha with Sayyid al-Radi.
That's right.
Okay. Actually, Imam Ali, first immediate successor to the Prophet Muhammad, was a unique figure next to the Prophet Muhammad in Arabic literature. Even before Sayyid al-Radi, several scholars attempted to collect the sayings and aphorisms and homilies of Imam Ali. Okay, however, due to the devotion and the novelty of approach which Sayyid al-Radi brought to his work, even today the version of Nahj al-Balagh which we have is exactly the same as what has been done by Sayyid al-Radi, and no scholar after Sayyid al-Radi ever attempted to rearrange this order.
Nahj al-Balagh, what does it mean?
It means the path of eloquence, the route of eloquence, or the road leading to eloquence. Okay, as I remarked earlier, Sharif al-Radi was first and foremost fascinated by literary scholarship and literature and contribution to literature. But Sharif al-Radi, according to his own exegesis and according to his own explanations, he was very much interested in literature. And at the same time, since he was a renowned Shiite figure, he was interested in the Nahj al-Balagh for two reasons. Collections of materials produced by Imam Ali for two reasons. First and foremost, Imam Ali was the first infallible Imam and the immediate successor to the Prophet Muhammad, and at the same time, the astonishing brilliance observable in the speeches of Imam Ali.
That's right.
According to, the novelty of Sayyid al-Radi lies in this approach, that he classified the materials which he received from Imam Ali, okay, in three sections, okay, in his book Nahj al-Balagh. First, sermons and decrees, and then letters and communications, and finally, or in the third part, maxims and counsels, or homilies. Very terse sayings. Okay, the importance of Nahj al-Balagh lies in the fact that it isn't a haphazard collection of letters and decrees and communications of Imam Ali, or letters. Rather, in all these materials, you can discern a very detailed and brilliant, and at the same time, a very transparent picture of the history of the heyday of Islam. Okay, starting from the day of the Prophet Muhammad down to the martyrdom of Imam Ali, even some blurred and dark aspects of early Islamic history can be deciphered and can be illuminated, can be lit up by reference to the Nahj al-Balagh. Yes, and all of these contributions of the late Sayyid al-Radi has flourished in making the Nahj al-Balagh a unique literary compendium far beyond the boundaries of ordinary mankind, but much lower than the level of the Quran as the word of God.
That's right. Thank you very much. Dr. Fakhrouani, where is he buried now?
He's buried in Baghdad.
In Baghdad, that's
yes, right. Just opposite the sacred sanctuary of Imam Musa al-Kazim and Imam al-Jawad.
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
On the one side of the street you find the sanctuary, and at the other side of the street you find the tombs of these two brothers very close to each other.
Thank you. Sayyid al-Radi and Sayyid al-Murtada. That's right. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrouani, for explanation and elaboration on the life and works of Sayyid al-Radi.
Welcome.
Dear Muslims, brothers and sisters in faith from around the world, this is the program Immortals coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station. You can also refer to our website at www.coiradio.com. Thank you very much for listening to this program. Have a nice time and goodbye.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.